In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Christos anesti.
Christos anesti.
Christos postres.
Christos postres.
We continue the celebration of Pascha, and today I'll kind of revisit Great Friday a little bit, because if you were here for Great Friday, you may recall I talked a little bit about Salome, who was the mother of James and John. And she was one of the myrrh bearers who we heard about not only in the Gospel of Good Friday, but also in the Gospel that we heard today, namely that of the resurrection. And if you recall, on Great Friday, she was transformed from the role of being a follower of Christ to becoming a myrrh bearer, one who would take the myrrh and do this really horrendous task of taking the body of Christ and in some way hurriedly preparing it for burial. And that must have been just an extremely difficult thing to do, not only in terms of the practicalities of it all, asking the questions, for example, where are we going to bury him? And then fortunately Joseph of Arimathea came up and said, well, here, I have a family tomb right here that was available. But then they had to actually prepare as best as they could. And we hear that in John's Gospel, Nicodemus had this 100 pounds of aloes and these different spices, but then there were more spices that they had to get. And it must have been extremely difficult work. Difficult not only in terms of the physicalness of taking a dead body, which is bloody and just scarred beyond belief, as the scripture says, we could not recognize him. But now, also, for anyone who had any sensitivity in their heart to have seen this whole scene, but particularly one who had love in her heart for him since that beginning of the ministry of Christ, where he called her sons, and which she had become a follower herself. This must have been truly difficult emotionally. I marvel at those who are nurses, and especially like in triage, where you face these kinds of horrendous situations and you have to put aside your emotions and do your work, knowing that at some point you're going to get to that, but for now you do your work. But I dare say that emotional impact could not be ignored. It was something that had to be born in the heart. At that moment, when they took him down from the cross, but also for 2 days later, and in wandering in her mind, where and how can we finish the job? And the other women too were grieving, and you know, half of the work that you have to do is to prop the other people up. Mary, the mother of our Lord, and Mary Magdalene, and these other women who had also loved the Lord and followed him, and just trying to hold each other up through this whole situation. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but you know how difficult that is. To just get through it, to just get through to the next day, and knowing that they would have to revisit the tomb and they would have to finish the work. Why? Because they were conscientious people. They would not allow this to be done in a haphazard way. But they would also be observant of the law. They were pious Jews. And so the Sabbath would not be a day on which they would do this work, but rather they would honor the Lord first in their hearts, even though their hearts were so heavily burdened. So this was to be a very difficult day of waiting. But finally, the morning would dawn, and they would be faithful to their task. Now, this faithfulness is truly that. It's a faithfulness to the task. I don't think any of the women, when they went to the tomb, save perhaps the God-bearer, expected the Lord to be risen from the dead. But their faithfulness in carrying out their work is what brought them to the point where they could then see what God was doing. Now, if she, Salome, and the other women had turned and gone, and they just said, I can't take this, or let somebody else take care of it, or I just don't want to do this anymore, they would have seen nothing. They would have experienced nothing. They themselves would not have experienced any of the glory, any of the joy, any of the light, any of the miraculous appearance of the angel, the earthquake, all of those things that happened in those first moments, in that first glimpse of daylight. They would have experienced none of it had they not remained faithful to the task, carrying out what it was that the Lord had set before them in this act of love that they would carry out and carry forth. They had to do it, and they would do it, and they did it. And so they went to the tomb, and this one purpose was a miserable purpose. But it was transformed because God had another purpose. And see, that's the message here, is that they had one purpose and God had another purpose. And that's what's really going on in life, is that we see this miserable life and we see what we think is a purpose in it, is something to endure, something to get through, something to just live with, suffer through. But in the midst of it, God has another purpose. And it is for God, in God's time, in God's way, to reveal what that purpose is. Why? Because He is Lord. And so when we see and experience these kinds of things that drain us, that are emotionally devastating to us, that indeed God is at work with a different purpose. And there's something different about God's purpose as well, that God's purpose is always good. God's purpose is always revelatory. You see, when God reveals His purpose, then we say, aha! Just as the women at the tomb, they were amazed. There's something revelatory about it. You see, they were no longer in the dark. The sun was rising, and not just the physical sun, but the sun of truth, the light of truth. And so this was the beginning of the revelation of God's purpose. And God's purpose is glory-filled. Just as the tomb was filled with glory and the angels gathered around, so when God's purpose is happening, it is glory-filled. Now, St. John was very much aware of this in his reflection on the crucifixion, because he calls the crucifixion itself the glorification of Christ. That in the midst of that was the glorification of God, the glory of God being revealed. This is hard for us to see because we don't see God's purpose. But God's purpose, if we understand it, then we can say, yes, that was glorious. It did not seem to me at first to be glorious, but I see it now. It was glorious. It was revelatory. It was good. It was transformational. You see, whenever these kinds of forces are at work, then these get beyond just our mind and enter into our heart and enter into our way of life. And they transform what we are about as people. Left to our own insights, we will never see this revelation. There will be no transformation. We will only see a dead body. But when we participate faithfully in what the Lord would call us to do, in the simplest of ways, and sometimes the most miserable of ways, then His glory will be revealed in some way. Now, this is one of the things that strikes me. When we're stuck in our own world, in our own purpose, in our own misery, that's all we know. Take someone who is stuck in addictive behavior. That is all they know. And eventually, it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. and it eventually will kill them, which is the darkest of the dark. And this is the great tragedy of that, is that actually God could have another purpose if in one's heart one turns to God and says, Lord, here I am in this misery, help me. And it's oftentimes the people who have had such experiences and they've turned their life over to God that God then reveals to them his power to transform what was an addictive behavior, something that drags us into the mud of life and which we can't escape from. And instead, God shows us his grace and his power. And it becomes then transformational and changes the way we live and the way we relate to others and the way we think. And we get removed and elevated out of our misery. So this is what the resurrection of Christ is doing for these women. It's revealing to them, even in their misery, in their life experience, revealing something new, something different, something life-giving. And this is meant to be the revelation to the whole world. You see, this message to these women, to Salome and to her companions, was meant so to be shared with the whole world, so that everybody who's got a miserable experience, everybody who is suffering, everybody who is in the pit, can come to believe in a way out of that, in something in this life that leads to a new life that is transformational, that is filled with glory, that leads from sorrow into joy. This revelation, then, is what people in the world, every one of us, longs to hear. And you see, it's the gospel at this point is filled with this missionary drive. And it's first given to the women. First given to the women. Why? Because they showed up first. Peter, you know, the other apostles, John, they'd eventually get there. They'd get their marching orders. But the women were there first, so they received the good news first, but then they also received the mandate first. Go and tell. Go tell those people in misery that I am risen. That you don't have to live this way. That there's something else available for you. And that even in the middle of your misery, as you faithfully try to live your life, God will be with you if you turn to him. And he will raise up and change and transform and glorify this, your life, regardless of the situation in which you find yourself. And there will be times and there will be moments when he will send his angel to sit in your tomb so that you can know that he is with you. They take on the role of the announcers, the proclaimers. No longer, you see, is the myrrh that they bear physical. The myrrh that they carry is the spiritual one. This is the myrrh that heals the souls, that restores the bodies, that gives humanity hope, that changes people's lives. And this is what they're given to take back to the people they love. And indeed, to go, you know, and give this message to the apostles and dispatch them to Galilee. Why? Because Galilee is the Galilee of the Gentiles. So that not only the Israelites to whom Jesus preached, but also the Gentiles, the whole world, would receive this message, would receive their testimony, would receive this good news. You know, how I think as I reflect upon the life of Salome, you know, and the myrrh bearers, their experience was transformed. But I dare say within their souls they longed for the Lord Jesus. We hear this, by the way, in the scriptures. In fact, the ancient cry of the Christian people was, come, Lord Jesus. Come implies that he's gone. gone because he has not died and gone into the tomb. Gone because he's died and risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, preparing a place for us, and that he will come again and complete the work, complete the transformation, complete the glorification, finish us in his purpose that he has set for us in his coming and taking flesh from the beginning. But this process creates within us a yearning for something more, for the fulfillment in different ways, for to see again the Lord's face. But he will come to us again and again. That's why he's given to us the mysteries, so that he could still be present, though seemingly absent, but present in a mystical, in a holy way. And this is the way that would sustain the myrrh bearers and deepen their love and deepen their joy in the risen Lord. And it does for us as well. And so that's why our participation in the holy mystery of communion and in all of the holy mysteries and receiving his forgiveness and in all of these things that draw us closer to him, completing, as it were, and moving forward that transformational purpose that God has within our souls to bring us into light and into glory. The women experienced this. The first century church experienced this. The church of the saints experienced this. And Christ is risen. Those words is the start. And every time that we as the church proclaim that Christ is risen, we are joining the myrrh bearers. We're saying it so that we hear it ourselves, but we're saying it so that somebody else in earshot hears it as well. Because we all need to hear this good news. We all need to see that in the midst of the sorrowful and even miserable situations in our life, that the Lord is risen and that there is something else and something more that awaits us. And this is the glory that the Lord revealed to his disciples, to Salome, to the myrrh bearers, and will reveal to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.